Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome to you all. It's good to see you today and to welcome those who are visitors, those who are here for the first time, and those who are here for the first time in a while. It's good to see you all. Isn't this weather wonderful altogether? I think maybe some gardeners and the farmers will be looking for a wee drop of that thing that begins with R. It'll come soon enough, but maybe during the night that would be best, wouldn't it? But it is just wonderful altogether. So let us worship God. We sing the hymn 198. We're going to miss out verse 3. Miss out verse 3 of hymn 198. Let us build a house where love can dwell.
Thank you.
The call to prayer comes from Psalm 148. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have called us to this place and hour. We praise your name and we rejoice in your presence. You are Lord and God of all. The sun, moon, and stars proclaim how great you are. And yet you know each one of us by name. And in your sight, we are all precious. Almighty God, as we marvel at the beauty of your creation and the variety of color that surrounds us at this time, we praise you for your love, a love like no other, and a love that enfolds us and endures forever. Lord God, for the privilege of belonging to your worldwide family, we thank you. For your love that words cannot describe, we praise you. For your presence now and always, we exalt your holy name. Gracious God, as we come before you this wonderful new morning, we confess there are times when we don't get things right. Times when we are hurtful and not kind. Times when we are selfish and not generous. Times when we are cold and not welcoming. Forgive us. And with your help, let us amend our ways and be the people we should be. A people who love one another and a people who demonstrate your love in all that we say and all that we do. Gracious God, accept this, our morning prayer, and hear us now as together we say the prayer our Saviour taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For the benefit of those who are here for the first time following the singing of the next hymn, children are welcome to gather down at the hall, and Sunday club leaders will be leaving the church. You'll see them going out, and children are very welcome down there at the hall, where a programme of craft work and activities has been prepared. So children will be very, very welcome there. That's following the singing of the next hymn. Good morning, how nice to see you. You're very welcome. Following the service today, friends, there'll be a further time of fellowship in the parish halls. Tea, coffee, and biscuits will be served, and I do hope that all who are able to come along will do so. I've been told that there'll be jam for sale as well, so that might tempt you. If you would like someone to be prayed for by the church prayer group, there are prayer cards in the McMichael Chapel, which is the first room as you go through into the main vestibule, and it's on your left. And you can write names on the prayer cards and attach them to the prayer tree. Likewise, if you would like the request to be more confidential, you can place the prayer tag into the box. And there'll be a further time of prayer following the service next Sunday morning. Friends, the General Assembly is now in session in Edinburgh. We remember the moderator and the Lord High Commissioner and others in our prayers. The Lord High Commissioner will actually be here in Stirling tomorrow in the session. Clark and myself will be meeting her along with other people, and we're looking forward to that. And the Lord High Commissioner is the first Roman Catholic to hold that position, and I think that is a wonderful thing altogether. You'll see on the intimation sheet, friends, there, the prayer that was used by the former moderator, Shaw Patterson, each day at last year's General Assembly. Do most of you have a copy of the intimation sheet? I wonder if we might just say that prayer together. It's the prayer on the reverse of the order of service. Let's say that prayer for ourselves, for the General Assembly, and for the whole church at this time. Let us pray. Let's say it together. Lord God, keep us true to who we are. Enable us to use the gifts you have given. Bless us with your Spirit, that we might build up on the foundations of Christ as we seek to be your church at work in the world. Amen. Thank you. I've got a few things here with me today. Now, they all have something in common. No prizes for guessing what they have in common. Sellotape, glue, and a stapler. But let's just play along. What do they have in common? They stick things together. Is that it? They hold things together. And most of us will have sellotape and glue and a stapler at home. Now, the sellotape is very handy if you're wrapping something up. Who likes wrapping up presents? Right, I'll remember that the next time. Because I am hopeless. Hopeless. I struggled even to get the sellotape off of this. And I've got it all over my desk. But sellotape, great for wrapping up parcels, presents, gifts, you name it. And of course, glue is good for sticking things together. Pieces of furniture, even toys that are broken. Or if you're doing craft work, glue can be a very helpful thing to have. And then the good old stapler. It holds pieces of paper together and stops them from wandering off and getting lost. So all these things have an important use. We are all individuals, and that is great. Each one of us gathered here is unique, special, and valued. And we need to remember that, don't we? Each one of us here has our own story to tell. We are individuals. But within the church, we are as one people. Now, what is it that is our sellotape, our glue, our stapler? What is it that holds us together? Any guesses? I'm not hearing anything. What is it that holds us together? Faith? Something else? Friendship? Well done, Rod. Love. Faith binds us together, our friendship. But most important of all is love. One day, Jesus said, I've got a new commandment to give you, and it's this. Love one another. Love one another as I have loved you. And when you love one another, then other people will know that you are my disciples. It's all about love. Now, when people looked at the first followers of Jesus, the early church, they often said, look at these people. See how they love one another. They weren't perfect by any standard. They had faults and weaknesses and failings as we do, but their love for each other was evident. I wonder, when people come among us, do they see that love? Is that love evident within our fellowship, the body of Christ here in this place? Is that love evident in our dealings with one another, within and out with the church? Something for us to think about. Our next hymn is a great hymn, but it is a lot of challenging questions. As we sing the hymn, let's think about the questions in the context of Jesus' command that we should love one another. Hymn 533 to the great tune Kelvin Grove. Will you come and follow me?
Thank you. The first lesson is taken from Acts, chapter 11, verses 1 to 18. It can be found at page 112 in the Pew Bible. That's Acts, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. News came to the apostles and the members of the church in Judea that Gentiles too had accepted the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those who were of Jewish birth took issue with him. "You have been visiting men who are uncircumcised," they said, "and sitting at table with them." Peter began by laying before them the facts as they had happened. "I was at prayer in the city of Joppa," he said, "and while in a trance, I had a vision. I saw something coming down that looked like a great sheet of sailcloth, slung by the four corners and lowered from heaven till it reached me. I looked intently to make out what was in it, and I saw four-footed beasts, wild animals, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'No, Lord, nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' A voice from heaven came a second time, 'It is not for you to call profane what God counts clean.' This happened three times, and then they were all drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where I was staying, and the Spirit told me to go with them. My six companions here came with me, and we went into the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house who said, 'Send to Joppa for Simon Peter. He will speak words that will bring salvation to you and all your household.' Hardly had I begun speaking when the Holy Spirit came upon them, just as upon us at the beginning. And I recalled what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' God gave them no less a gift than he gave us when we came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. How could I stand in God's way?" When they heard this, their doubts were silenced, and they gave praise to God. "This means," they said, "that God has granted life-giving repentance to the Gentiles also." And the second lesson is taken from St. John's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. It can be found at page 93 in the Pew Bible. That's John, chapter 13, beginning at verse 31. "When he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and in him God is glorified. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him now. My children, I am to be with you for a little longer. Then you will look for me. And as I told the Jews, I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment: love one another. As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. If there is this love among you, then everyone will know that you are my disciples, Amen.
Thank you, Joyce. Apologies to those who were looking forward to singing the next hymn in the order of service. We will sing it very soon, but Tony and I have decided, in light of this wonderful weather, we're going to take the opportunity to sing hymn 225. 225 summer suns are glowing over land and sea. 225. Let us pray. Lord God, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is your love for us and for all people. We thank you for your love, a love that is unmerited, unconditional, and unchanging. Gracious God, we thank you for the love of our families and of those closest to us, people who see us at our best and our worst, those who have shared our good days and our bad. We thank you for the love of our friends, those we can confide in, those who are always there for us, those who encourage and support, comfort, and console us. And we thank you for the love we find within the fellowship of your church, in this congregation, and in the Church of Jesus Christ around the world. Those who worship with us, who care for us, and who remember us in their prayers. Almighty God, Jesus commanded us to love one another. Help us as individuals and as a church to be loving. And may this be a place where love can dwell and all feel welcome. Gracious God, as we pray for the peace of the world, so we pray for the Church of Scotland, now meeting in General Assembly. Be with the moderator, the Lord High Commissioner, Assembly officials and all commissioners. May their minds be focused on Christ and guide them in their deliberations, that your will may be done, your kingdom advanced, and your unfailing love made known. Almighty God, whose Son reached out to one and all, be with those who are lonely today. Heal those who are sick. Support those who are dying. And comfort all who mourn. These things we humbly ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We're going to sing hymn 616. We're going to sing every second verse. Verse 1, then 3, then 5, and then 7. So verses 1, 3, 5, and 7. There's a spirit in the air telling Christians everywhere. Mother Teresa once visited a certain town to open a home for the poor. During the visit, she was interviewed by the local radio station. In a private moment, the announcer asked her if there was anything that he could do for her. He was expecting her to request a contribution or media attention to help raise money for the home. But instead, she replied, "Yes, there is something you can do. Find someone nobody else loves and love them." That was quite an answer, wasn't it? It certainly wasn't the answer the announcer expected. Both of today's readings are about love, the love that God has for us and the love that we are to have for one another. And that includes those nobody else loves. A friend who I hadn't been in touch with for quite a while messaged me the other day, and one of the things that he wrote was this: "Interesting time in the world. Very scary." He's right, isn't he? There is conflict and war, which we're very much aware of. Each morning, the headlines bring us news of some other act of conflict and of lives lost. But there is also so much division between people in the world, even in our own country. And the views of certain politicians, particularly on the far right, seem to be gaining support, not only here in the United Kingdom, but in other countries in the world. And that is, for many of us, a cause for real concern. The early church had a steep learning curve, and we get a sense of that in the passage that Joyce read to us from the book of Acts. The prevailing thought at the time was that God's love was restricted to the Jewish nation alone. But through a vision, Peter came to realize this was not the case, that while God indeed loved the Jewish nation, his love also extended to the Gentiles, to those who were not Jews. And that was a big challenge to Peter's thinking and the thinking of the other disciples. God does not show favor to one group above another. God's love is not restricted. In his sight, all are loved equally. This revelation was mind-blowing, if I can use such a phrase. And credit to Peter and the others. Difficult though it must initially have been to accept and take on board, that is what they did. And they proclaimed it in word and in deed. I think we have much to learn from the early church today. We can have our own understanding of God and what the church should be, and that's okay. It's okay as long as we are always open to the possibility that our understanding might be completely wrong or only partially correct. Let me pose you with a few questions which I think we need to ask from time to time. Do we as a church show favoritism or partiality? Do we, through what we say and do or fail to say and do, restrict God's love to certain groups or types of people? Are there barriers that we have erected between ourselves and others? within and out with the church. These are big, important questions. In our reading from John's Gospel, we encounter Jesus giving the disciples a new commandment: love one another. As I have loved you, so you are to love one another. And then do you remember how he added? If there is this love among you, then everyone will know you are my disciples. If. A small, small word, but what a huge meaning is attached to it. At the end of the day, when all the doctrine has been debated, when all the traditions have been lived out, when all the hymns have been sung and the liturgies read, we are left with just one thing: love. It's all about love. And whatever else St. Ninian's old parish church is about, it must be a place of love. A place where people encounter the love of God for them, where people feel loved and accepted for who they are without judgment, where people are free to express love for others and back to God. It's all about love. When Jesus gave the commandment to love, it wasn't at a random time in his ministry. The timing was critical. He gave the teaching to the disciples the night before he went to the cross. It was his final teaching to them before he died. So he wasn't going to waste time telling them stuff that didn't really matter. Instead, he went to the very heart of the Christian faith. And he said to them, before I die, this is what you need to know. Love one another. It's almost as if the 3 years of his ministry had been building up to this crucial, important moment. And he was saying to them, this is what you need to remember. No matter what else you forget, remember this. It's all about love. We must, of course, be careful how we use this word, love. It has such a wide range of meanings, doesn't it? I love my job, and I do. I love the Beatles, not these things that creep about. But you remember that great band way back in the 60s? And of course, Paul McCartney's got a connection with Kintyre. Say no more. I love chicken madras. Well, actually, I prefer chicken korma. Love. It's a changeable word, isn't it? And its meaning alters according to the context in which we use it. So the definition of love that is given here is really important. Love one another as I have loved you. That's what makes this love unique, as I have loved you. So what does this love look like? What does it mean for us to love one another as Jesus has loved us? I think there are three things that I want to share with you very, very briefly. Firstly, love is sacrificial. At the very heart of the Christian faith is the fact that Jesus died on the cross. Not some empty, meaningless death, but a death that won a significant victory over the power of sin and death, so that we could have a living relationship with God. Isn't that marvellous? But that death was immensely sacrificial. Jesus had to give up everything, his life, that we might live. Paul put it well in the letter to the Philippians. Christ emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. Imagine the King of Glory took on the form of a servant. That was the ultimate act of self-emptying so that he could show sacrificial love towards us. I wonder what that means in your life and in my life. How can we show sacrificial love towards others? What can we give of ourselves, who we are and what we have, in order to love better? Christ is the model for us to follow, and we have a lifetime to work out what that means for us. So first, we love one another sacrificially. There is a cost. Secondly, love is unconditional. Jesus didn't die for us because we deserved it. He didn't die for us because we had somehow earned God's grace and love. Far from it. There is nothing that you or I have ever done that has made us deserving of this wonderful relationship that we have with God. Instead, as the Bible tells us, Christ died for us even when we were far off and lost. My friends, the fact that you and I constantly get things wrong and sometimes make a mess of our lives, that does not cause God to withdraw his love from us. As one of my professors at university would often say, Jesus didn't set conditions on his love. It wasn't a case of do this, do that, and then I'll love you. No, I love you. Now respond to that love, a love that is unconditional. And because Jesus loves us unconditionally, despite our weaknesses and failings, well, we are called to love others unconditionally too. I think in this day and age, in our country as it currently is, one of the most precious gifts that we have to offer is the love that God has for us and that dwells within us. For that is a love that affirms people. It lets them know, regardless of who they are or what they have done, that they matter, that they count, and are valued greatly. So this new commandment to love means sacrificial love and unconditional love. And finally, it is a love that is practical. What are the greatest examples of love that you can think of? There's a question. There's a question for you to mull over when you're at your lunch today. What are the greatest examples of love you can think of? We might think of some of the great poems and sonnets and love songs that have been written that express the emotion of love. But in reality, love is intensely practical. The hospice nurse, caring for the dying patient. The mother, clearing up her child sick in the middle of the night. The food bank volunteer, listening to a client and providing for their needs. The parents who sacrifice their own dreams for the sake of their children. These are examples of love, love that is intensely practical. And such love we are called to show day in and day out. We cannot walk by on the other side of the road. That is not an option. We are to meet needs wherever and whenever we can. So Jesus has a new commandment for you and for me. And my friends, it is not a new commandment to love. It is a commandment to love as He has loved us. That is the life we are called to. It is not easy. But love must be the hallmark of the church, this church, and our lives. It's all about love. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Dear friends, a reminder that there'll be tea and coffee and biscuits in the parish halls after the service today. The parish halls, you just go down the road from the church, the first building on your right-hand side. Now, I'm not going to go to the door today because I'm thirsty, I'm ready for a cup of tea, but more importantly, I'm wanting to get a chance to speak to some of you, especially those who are new among us. So I hope you can come along to the hall after the service. We celebrate God's wonderful love for us and the love that we are called to show in our closing hymn. Hymn 622, we sing a love that sets all people free.
Thank you.
May the love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. May the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. May the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our souls. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you now and always. Amen.